Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning. You alright? How are you this morning? Bright eyed and bushy tailed, I hope. I trust. Rocking and raring for the day ahead. It is Thursday, the 5th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. Just ticked past 8 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm good.
Cool. Good stuff. And you are the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Should we get straight into it today? As you can imagine, it's largely Iran, wall to wall. I'm getting a bit of a echo there, Harry. I want to sort that out if you can. All right. Okay, let's stop now. Good. Okay, let's jump straight in then. What's going on today? What's the news? What's the haps? What's the skinny? All right. Trump's war goes global and Labour ensnared by a China spy probe. I think we've got a, poll. Will be to do with the China thing today. Okay. All right. Look at the papers. Oh, we start with the Metro. Ugh. Ugh. Real. All right. That's a crazy picture. There's another picture we'll probably see a bit later. It's even crazier of this kid playing, hanging off of this thing. Okay. Trump's war goes global. Iran's missiles are downed in Syria and Turkey as deadly revenge mission rages on. They're calling it a revenge mission by Iran. It's not a bad way to characterise it because it does seem like Israel and the United States are going to see this thing through to the end. So anything they do is sort of like a revenge, I suppose. It's not an insane way to characterise it. This is a picture from, I think, rural Syria somewhere. Obviously, a dud. US submarine torpedoes first ship since World War II with 148 sailors dead in the Indian Ocean. A lot of other reports say it's more in the range of 80, but whatever. Yeah, then we got footage of it. You might have seen it if you've been watching the news over the last day or so. Yeah, the American submarine torpedoed a ship, and it was off the coast of Sri Lanka, obviously in the Indian Ocean. Not a million miles from the Gulf, but not that far either, I mean, in the scheme of things, but not actually in the Gulf of Aden or in the, you know, so, all right. So it widens, we can now say it's a world war. It's gone global, it's a world war now. Of course, that's hyperbole, in my estimation. PM risks new rift as he calls the president's plan, not viable, or lawful, or thought through. So Starmer doubled down. He actually found some cojones for once. Alright, on this of all things. Okay, alright. It's interesting, isn't it, what Starmer gets tough about and what he doesn't. What he U-turns on and what he doesn't. Kind of whatever's in China's best interest. Alright. The Financial Times, US broadens war on Iran to higher seas. So here's that image. It's from the periscope, or it's from the perspective of the US submarine. And this was like an Iranian frigate. Quite a big warship, but not that big in the scheme of things, but not small. And that's sort of the moment a torpedo hit. It looks like it was already on fire from the footage, if you see the footage. It looked like it was already on fire, like it had already been hit by something. But then a torpedo hits and blows it sort of out of the water, and there it is sinking beneath the waves, taking down at least dozens and dozens and dozens, if not over 100 souls. Well, It's a dodgy position to be in, isn't it, at the moment, on an Iranian Navy ship. You might thought you was probably out of the zone of conflict if you was off the coast of Sri Lanka, but no. Well, that is one thing the United States have got after spending astronomical amounts of money on defence for decades, is that they can project their power anywhere. I mean, their submarine fleet is by far the biggest and most powerful one in the entire world. By far, by far. Oh, Iran's going to rain destruction on the United States, is it? No. Where's your submarine program, Iran? Oh, you haven't got one. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. All right. Threat of wider attacks as frigate is sunk off Sri Lanka. First torpedoing of enemy ships since World War II. Tehran's rate of fire drops, but raids across Gulf persist. Israel expands assaults on Hezbollah in South Lebanon. Okay. Yeah, so just a word to say about the thing of Iran still being really, really belligerent in terms of rhetoric anyway. It's starting to ring crazily hollow to me. May still prove wrong in the coming days or weeks that they are still sitting on giant stockpiles of drones and missiles and they're just biding their time, but at this point, on Thursday, the morning of Thursday the 5th, it doesn't look like that's the case. It looks like they're running out of munitions, missiles and drones and all sorts of things. So the fear that they would have thousands, even tens of thousands of drones, they could do mass wave attacks on a carrier group, doesn't look like it's going to materialise. It might do, still. Doesn't look like it. Coming out of Iran still is rhetoric. I suppose you can't blame them. Saying, you'll regret all of this. You'll regret everything. We're going to get you. We're going to smash you up. Good style. Are you? I remember in the second Iraq war, 2003 Iraq war, where Saddam's spokesperson, not Chemical Alley, or was it Chemical Alley? Anyway, the spokesperson, he would come out and whilst the Americans were sending armoured divisions racing across the desert, he would be saying, we're going to win, we're still going to win, they're falling into our trap. And, like, real analysts are like, no. And then at one point, this is how absurd it got, at one point, US Army armoured division tanks were doing thunder runs, so-called thunder runs, through the middle of Baghdad. They'd got to the outskirts of Baghdad, and they were starting incursions, just seeing what happened if they ran tanks through the middle of Baghdad, see how much fire they took. Quite crazy, really, a thunder run. And when that was happening, the Iraqi spokesperson was on TV, and, like, the questioner, like a Western or whoever, reporter asking them, saying, what do you think about, there's tanks now in the middle of Baghdad? And he's like, no, there isn't. No, there isn't. That's not true. That's American propaganda. It's like, we can see it, though. It is happening. You're in a complete denial. Complete denial now. I feel like Iran is getting to that point where it's sort of a bit beyond embarrassing for them. It's like, just turn away. All right. The other big story today. Look, Labour MP's partner is among three held on suspicion of spying for China. Even more infiltration of the government, particularly the Labour government. So three people were arrested. One was the husband of a sitting Labour MP, Scottish Labour MP, I believe. Joni Reid, was it her name? But she sits on quite an influential committee. Is it like an Intelligence or Defence Committee? Something like that. She's not just a total nobody backbencher. She's got some sort of... She's privy to some sensitive information. Her husband has been arrested. Not saying he's guilty yet. A court will decide that. But he's been arrested on suspicion of being a Chinese spy. Effectively. He's not Chinese or anything, but, you know, in the pay of their intelligence services. As well as two other people, which from the reports I read this morning, I didn't see their names, but it described them as Blair-era appointees, Blair-era people. So it goes back that far. If they're guilty. The amount of infiltration into particularly Labour, not just Labour though, by the Chinese, it's mad. Oh, but we're going to give them a giant embassy, the biggest embassy in Europe, some sort of giant complex of buildings in a really, really sensitive part of London. Oh, okay. Good one. The Guardian, ugh. It's not big, it's not clever. To be the Guardian. It's not clever. Seditious. Seditious filth. The Guardian. At least 87 dead as US sinks Iranian ship near Sri Lanka. Okay. Submarine attack raises questions over legality of Washington's war aims. What legality? What are you talking about? What, the UN? What, the international law? That was a shaky thing at best. United States doesn't have to do anything the UN says. Doesn't have to. So what legality are you talking about? Oh, the legality in the United States that Congress didn't greenlight it. Oh, well, if we quickly jump over to the New York slimes. Senate Republicans block limits to president's war powers. There you go. So the Democrats tried to introduce a bill limiting the Donald's war powers. They didn't have the numbers. And the Republicans blocked that. So, what legality are you talking about, Guardian? It raises questions. No, it doesn't. Not really. MP's husband arrested in China spy inquiry. Great. Who knows what information he got? Just pass it on to the Chinese. Okay, the eye paper. War zone widens as US sub torpedoes warship off Sri Lanka. There you go, the same image of it being blown up. The quick blurb says, conflict spreads to Indian Ocean in first American attack outside the Middle East during the war. Pentagon shares video footage of submarine torpedo attack killing 87 with sailors missing. Israeli troops enter villages in the south of Lebanon in escalating hostilities with Hezbollah. Iran attacks Kurdish forces in Iraq. We'll talk about that later. Iran attacks Kurdish fighters in Iraq. We'll talk about that in a minute. And blocks gas and oil tankers from key shipping lane. Ayatollah's successor, quote, certain target for assassination, quote, with Khomeini's son, Mojtaba, a candidate. UK warship won't sail for Cyprus until next week. HMS Dragon. Enter the Dragon. Navy begins loading ammo in Portsmouth. Thousands of flights grounded. Stranded passengers as US tells Americans to leave Iraq. Okay, so they're the main things today. All the main things that hit all the points in the, at least in the UK print media. The Mail, complete slop. Absolutely, the Mail group. Not much better than the Guardian, really. Those a little bit of seemingly based red meat at you from time to time to make you think they're not globalist slop, but they are. Trump sub-torpedoes Iranian warship. Labour ensnared in China spy probe. MP's husband and two special advisers from Blair era arrested on suspicion of spying for Beijing. There you go. The Blair era element to that story. The Mirror, even more slop. Look at this. This is the potato head. Dude. Look at the state of that. Possibly, again, we'll have to wait for a court to decide, but possibly, allegedly, an arch traitor. Look at him. Look at the state of that. MP, I've never suspected my husband. Well, you would say that. I've got no reason to disbelieve you, to be honest. But you would say that, though, still, right? Also. Politician wife defends lobbyist after three arrested in espionage probe. Look. Ugh. Same dude. Mr. Potato Head. The spy who loved MP. The star. The spy who loved me, obviously. Joke on, play on that. the spy who loved MP. Joni reads shocked as cops quiz her husband. Oh, shocked. She's shocked. Well, she genuinely didn't know. It would be shocking, wouldn't it? The Daily Telegraph. As the world burns, MPs keep dancing. All right. So what's that? Is that Angela Rippon? Angela Rippon and Lindsay Hoyle. What a joker. Lindsay Hoyle. Don't like him. Don't trust him. I don't think he's good at his job at being the Speaker of the House of Commons. Supposedly being impartial. That's basically his job. I don't think he is. I don't think he's at all. I think he's a lefty. I think he's pretty much a massive lefty. Harry refocusing us there. Thank you, Harry. Yeah, and he's laughing it up. He's having a good time. Laugh it up, clown. Miliband-led revolt to Trump's Iran war. Minister sided with Cooper and Reeves in refusing to let US use British bases. So I said yesterday, I reported yesterday, only on the strength of things I'd read, that we were, Britain was in fact going to let the Americans use Chagos and Cyprus. Now it's emerging that we're not. There were reports yesterday, I wasn't just making that up by the way, making that out of clear blue sky. That was what was being said. But apparently the cabinet talked about it yesterday and came to the decision that we're not going to now. And at the very least, Cooper, Reeves and Miliband, sort of the ones, if not Red Ed himself, pushing hardest for that decision. So, okay. Well, Starmer does seem to have doubled down. You remember one of the headlines right at the top that Starmer had said it wasn't thought out, it's not legal, it's just a bad idea in general. All right. Labour MP's husband arrested on suspicion of being Chinese spy, Mr. Potato Head. Okay. Was there any smaller stories there? No, okay. The Times, the venerable Times. Allies round on weak UK. Quote, weak. The Cypriot commissioner criticises Britain's defence of the island. US submarine sinks Iranian warship off coast of Sri Lanka. All right. Same images of that frigate being sent to the bottom of the ocean. Davy Jones's locker. Labour MP's husband. Okay, got it. All right. The Express, it's good paper. Weak, weak, weak. Olukemi Badenoch, Nigerian woman, whose Nigerian mother came here from Nigeria just to give birth to her on the NHS, tells us that the government is weak, weak, weak. Olukemi Badenoch blasts PM for prioritising his job security over our national security. To be fair, she's probably not entirely wrong. She's certainly not wrong just to say he's weak, weak, weak. He is super weak. Weak sauce. Nando's ultra weak sauce. Sir Keir Starlin. What a loser. He will go down history with perhaps the exception of Liz Truss. Of being the biggest joke of a Prime Minister of all time. I mean, Liz Truss is actually like an anomaly, isn't she? Truly an anomaly. So let's not even include her. Probably go down as the worst Prime Minister ever. One of them, surely. Top five worst PMs of all time. All right, The Sun... wants to go with, what is it, Harry Kane? Is that Harry Kane? I don't even know football as much anymore. I think it is, isn't it? Oh, no, sorry, Harry Maguire. A few years ago, in 2020, he got into some sort of bar brawl, footballers often do, in Greece. And the Greek cops, apparently, sort of demanded some sort of quote-unquote bribe, $50,000, and he just refused to, is the story. And so he got a 15-month suspended sentence in Greece, I suppose. A Greek court, I think, did it. So, all right. Harry Maguire is not interested in bribing Greek cops to the tune of $50,000. That's the front page today, in the middle of the biggest war in the Middle East in recent times. according to the Sun. All right. They're the papers. Let's have a look at our poll. Harry, can you bring up the poll? Make it so. Okay, we asked today, how compromised is the Labour government by China? And your options were hugely compromised, largely compromised, was never not compromised. So a funny poll today, a little bit of a funny one, really. Still, well over, getting up towards 900 odd votes, and it's quite early as well in the stream, isn't it? It's only 20 past 8. So, yeah, slightly less serious one. Well, the subject's serious, isn't it? But you can only pick from options that it is compromised. Oh, sorry, and there's a fourth option, which is just Chinese characters. Well done, Harry. I didn't even see it. That's funny. Are those Chinese characters just random, or does that mean something? Do you know?
So it's the only Chinese I know. It means ice cream.
Okay. Is Labour compromised? Hugely, largely, was never not, and Chinese ice cream. Okay. Chinese ice cream, 23% of you. 3% say was never not compromised. Oh, these numbers are silly. They don't mean anything, do they? 20% says largely compromised, and 53% says hugely compromised. So 100% agreement that they are compromised from everyone that voted this morning. Okay. That's a silly one. We'll do that from time to time. Sometimes it'll be deadly serious, and I'm trying to split opinion, and it's real. Sometimes it might be funny, silly. Some days we might do a poll that's just got nothing to do with anything in the news, maybe, right? It's up to us. We just make it up every morning. So, but thanks for voting there. Well over 900. All right. That was the poll. Let's have a look at the websites. There were a fair few interesting stories on the websites today. One of the ones I thought is that there may be, we'll get to it in a moment, but there may be boots on the ground in Iran after all. Not American ones, though. All right. Israel and Iran launch new strikes as first UK flights bring citizens home is delayed. See, there was a flight that was going to fly from Oman back to the UK. And it was delayed, and it will fly today. Big story. In the scheme of everything that's going on, big story. Not. Okay. Here's a little thing. How depleted weapons stockpiles could affect the Iran conflict. You might read that and think, oh, US and or Israel, their stockpile of weapons is running low, or it's depleted from that. It's like, no. No, the story is that Donald Trump says he's got virtually unlimited supply. Meanwhile, Iran is running low. They thought that maybe, various analysts thought that maybe Iran had a few thousand missiles, and they've already shot a lot of them. Before the war, it was estimated that Iran had a stockpile of more than 2,000 short-range ballistic missiles, of which they've fired a lot already in the last 5 days, I think, 6 days. So if anyone's running down, if anyone's got to worry about their stockpiles, it's not the United States. Right? For any of those that are cheering on the regime. And there are, in Australia and in the UK, all over the place, there are people. In fact, let's have a quick look at the Australian news. You'll see there's a story. Oh, look. The US will bitterly regret sinking our Navy vessel. Doubt it. There was a story in Australia. I thought it was there. Australian Labour, is their terror framework exposed as a farce as mosques honour brutal Iranian terrorist leader. And there's stories in Britain as well about various things like that. Satellite images show Iranian Navy and nuclear sites hit by US-Israeli strikes. Okay, yep. Here's a story that's not Iran, real quick. Mahmoud, the Home Secretary, is set to curb to set out curbs to asylum seeker support. The Home Secretary will say in a speech the move is required to restore trust to the asylum system. I don't have any trust in it. Again, it's tinkering around the edges. What it is not addressing the actual problem, i.e. you've let millions of people in here, which shouldn't, by rights, should never have been here in the first place. And there's no talk of remigration, mass remigration. Mass remigration. Millions must go. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood is set to detail new policy that will see asylum seekers who break the law. Well, every small boat person has broken the law by definition. But those that break the law or work illegally being thrown out of government-funded accommodation and losing their support payments. Well, that's not good enough. What, you just make them homeless then? I don't want them to just be homeless. I want them to go back to their countries of origin. That's not good enough. Still, no talk of a cap on migration. No talk of a concerted mass remigration program. Nope. Well, just those that break the law will take away their money. They're hell-bent on destroying our society, aren't they? All right. Let's have a look. What else have we got? Oh, China sets lowest economic growth target since 1991. Yeah, their giant growth has shrunk a tiny bit. Still growing massively, much more than our countries or anything. But a tiny bit slower than they thought it would. But still, it's the lowest growth since 1991. That's not nothing, is it? That's not nothing. Spring sunshine means parts of the UK to basking temperatures of 19 degrees. A balmy 19. Apparently today's supposed to be the nicest day so far this year. Looking forward to that, when the sun actually affords you some warmth. Different people around the world will be watching this from different places, right? Maybe baking where you are already. Might be in Austin, Texas. It'll be 29 degrees today in Austin. But 19 degrees in the UK at the beginning of March. I'll take it. All right, there was an interesting story on the ITV news. And we'll start it. Look, there's a picture of that kid in rural Syria. If I was that kid's dad or whatever, or even his older brother, I'd be like, stop mucking about. Get off of that. Are you kidding me? Bro, don't do that. I mean, it almost certainly would have gone off by now. Well, no, not necessarily. That's not how munitions work, is it? Just, that's not a great idea, kid. Okay, all right. Crazy picture, though, nonetheless, right? So, where's the story? There was a story about the boots on the ground. Already the thumbnails have moved around a bit. Oh, look, there's the Mr. Potato Head there. Potentially an arch traitor. There definitely was a story about the boots on the ground. Maybe I can just paraphrase it for you. The Kurds, basically. It was talking about the Kurds. That about 1 in 9 people in Iran are Kurdish. There's about 90 plus million people in Iran. And apparently about 10 million of them are Kurdish, particularly in the north and west part of Iran. And some reports were saying that ever since the attacks last year, it was last summer, wasn't it? When Hegseth and Trump did those precision massive blasts through the bunkers into the Iranian nuclear facilities. Ever since then, apparently, the CIA and others have been working on getting arms to and equipping and training Kurds, more sort of Iraqi Kurds, northern Iraqi Kurds, so that if and when they need any sort of boots on the ground incursion into Iran itself to help the people in their uprising in some way, it might be them, it may well be them. And that there's now talk of that, there's now firm talk of that. There's definitely, I'm sure there was a, oh, there we go. United States seeking an armed uprising inside Iran. The United States and Israel are seeking to foment an armed uprising inside Iran using an armed Kurdish fighting force, which has been built up since the 12-day war in 2025. Okay, so that's what ITV News is saying, is sort of that the Israel and the US are sort of planning that or would like that. Other news agencies are just saying it's happening. A few others are just saying that's already actually happening. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Maybe it's in the mail. In the mail, was it? Yeah. Ground invasion launched, the mail says. Ground invasion launched against Iran as thousands of US-backed Kurdish fighters storm border. So the mail is saying it's actually, it's not just a fiction. It's actually happening. And that Iran, over the last day or so, like tried to, well, has launched missiles at them and their bases that they know about inside Iraq, or on the border with Iran-Iraq. Interesting, it goes back to the dawn of civilization almost, warring peoples. Because even in the ancient world, even sort of ancient Assyrian, Sumerian times, that mountain range, where there's the border with Iran and Iraq today, the Gedrosian Mountains, isn't it? The Gedrosian Waste, Sorry, the mountains are called, oh gosh, it's gone out of my mind, I can't remember. I've talked about it loads on Epochs. Even the campaigns of Alexander. But even going back to ancient Assyrian times, that was sort of a natural border between different tribes, different peoples. Still to this day, like today, there's still fighting going on in the foothills of around those mountains. All right, crazy. Certain places in the world. Just always conflict. Crazy to me. Incredible. But okay, the Daily Mail says, ground invasion launched against Iran as thousands of US-backed Kurdish fighters storm border. Thousands of Kurdish fighters have launched a ground invasion in Iran, according to a US official. The Kurdish militias based across the border in Iraq began the offensive in northwestern Iraq on Wednesday. President Donald Trump on Sunday night spoke with the heads of the Kurdish militant groups in Iraq to discuss the situation in Iran. The CIA was exploring plans to arm the Kurdish forces with the aim of sparking a popular uprising, CNN reported on Tuesday. The Kurdish groups are widely seen as the most well-organized faction of the fragmented Iranian opposition and are believed to have thousands of battle-hardened fighters. Well, yeah, they've been fighting ISIS, haven't they, in northern Iraq, or even central Iraq and Syria, for years and years and years. They're not exactly the SAS, are they? They're not exactly SEAL Team 6 or whatever, but still, it's probably the best the US can hope for at this point. Their entry into the war could pose a significant challenge to the besieged authorities in Tehran and could also risk pulling Iraq further into the conflict. Asked about Kurdish involvement, Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth told reporters, quote, none of our objectives are premised on the support or the arming of any particular force. So, what other entities may be doing, we're aware of, but our objectives aren't centred on that. Okay, well, hedging his bets. Hegseth hedging. But nonetheless, I mean, there's a photograph of Kurdish men with AKs, or various types of weapons. But all right. So could it be that, the US and Israel take out all the big main military things in Iran, but there's still the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and police of various types on the ground in the cities that have still got guns and ammo and will still just fire indiscriminately into crowds, and they're extremely difficult to take out every last man jack of those from the sky. In order to help the Iranian people, the average Iranian person, the average Iranian protester, you've got handfuls of these guys that do, in fact, engage what's left of the Revolutionary Guard and armed police units in Iran. Could that work? Would that be enough? Would that be enough? Maybe not. better than nothing, wouldn't it be? Surely? Well, we shall see, I suppose. The Express, this is a bit of an odd one. Again, I probably wouldn't put this top, but all right. I'm Donald Trump's niece. He's attacked Iran for one reason alone. You might think it might be something like, because he's such a badass or something. No, she hates him. The reason is, she said, yeah, like she hates it. She really hates him. The only reason is because to cover up, to change the subject from Epstein, to change the subject from how inept he is as a leader in all other ways. What did she say? The one reason is, because he's not a fraud, because he's to take people's attention away from what a fraud he is. All right, love. Nice loyalty there. Yeah, the one reason is that he's in trouble and he knows it. This isn't simply about changing the subject. This is to keep himself and the world from knowing what an inept, depraved, compromised fraud he is. All right, love. That's Donald Trump's niece. Cheers for that. Cheers. A few years ago, it was during his first term. In my family, sometimes we get joke presents for each other. Like a present you definitely wouldn't want or something. Deliberately sending cards that are like the wrong thing. Like you send a happy 20th anniversary wedding card for someone's birthday, deliberately. Anyway. Someone got me a book which was written by someone in Donald Trump's family saying how terrible Trump was. They wrote a whole book about it. I think it might have been the same niece. I can't remember. It may have been the same niece. She wrote a whole book saying what a dick he was. That's nice, isn't it? Your own family. Well, all right. It is what it is. The Express decides to make that their top story on their website this morning. Bit tedious, isn't it? Could talk about anything. Could talk about anything. And you run that as a top story. Okay, so to say a few words about the markets. Again, crude is only at like $84 a barrel. When the war started, it was like 78, 79. So, stock markets in the Far East, even equities, have rebounded a bit. There's no giant economic collapse. Oh yeah, here we go. The Express talk about the ground war as well. First shots of Iran ground war fired as Tehran hits back at CIA-backed Kurdish bases. So yeah, the Iranians see it happening and trying to attack them. Iran forces have hit Kurdish armed group headquarters across the border in Iraq, Iran's press TV reported yesterday. Well, there you go. Will it be enough? Who knows? They might be more successful in sort of a hearts and minds sense than the US Marines, maybe. Right? If you were either Kurdish yourself in Iran or Arab or even Persian, I suppose. I don't really know. But you probably almost certainly much prefer to be quote unquote liberated by Kurds than by the IDF or the Marines, the US Marines, wouldn't you? Surely, probably. I know. There's probably a lot of people inside Iran, actual Persians, that might, or some that do, hate the Kurds, though, as well. So, it's a melting pot. There's all sorts of tensions there. You know, if you was full-blown, heartland, ultra-to-the-core Persian, you might not like that Kurds are liberating you. All right, well, there we go. It's not a homogenous part of the world, is it? Look, Harry Maguire. That's the top story on The Sun, Harry Maguire. They've decided this morning. This is horrible. This weird, horrible dude just headbutts this woman in a pub. Bang. Horrible. Horrible. That sort of person in Bowes Britain That sort of person would suffer for that. I put them in the pillory. They would physically suffer. That would be what that person deserves, isn't it? Not just a slap on the wrist or even a small custodial sentence. Should physically suffer for that. Horrible. This guy, this is just a photo fit, but one woman in Manchester was raped by the same guy. Twice. So in the space of 4 months, she got raped, they didn't catch him, and then the same guy did it to her again. A few months later. That's a photo fit of the gentleman responsible. What have they done to our country? What have they done? Another story, knife horror, right? Yeah, knife horror. Jeffrey Epstein apparently wanted to get Paul Burrell to train his servants. Good story. Katie Lamb actually talking about the Pakistani rape gangs. That's what it is. Don't get out of your pram that I've described it that way. That's what it is. For decades, thousands of children across dozens of towns were groomed, trafficked, and raped by gangs of men, most of whom were Pakistani Muslims. Not my words, that's the Sun. There you go. Jess Phillips just wants to make the inquiry just a general purpose sex crime, though. Are white people also do sex crime? This is a foreign imported thing which should never have happened, though. Do you not understand that? Someone like Owen Jones until relatively recently saying it's all a lie, it's all conspiracy, it's not true. That's just neo-Nazis say that as a talking point. It's just the far right. Is it? A crime of unparalleled severity. Those responsible for it should be able to pay. Should pay for what they've done. Largely in Labour-run areas. Okay. Little clip. This guy nearly got chopped in half. Don't worry, he doesn't. Oh! Nearly got chopped in half long ways by the elevator. That was a close call, wasn't it? Okay, more slop from the Sun, but all right, let's have a look. Let's jump across the pond, shall we? The New York Slimes, as you can imagine, goes with all things Iran and Trump. Trump follows his gut. His national security advisors try to keep up. Well, yeah, the president sets policy. This idea that, like, national security advisors, like, they run foreign policy and military matters and stuff. Well, if you've got a really weak president, if you've got someone like doddery, old, watery-eyed Joe Biden who doesn't really know where he is or what's going on, then okay, maybe. But if you've got a proper president, then no, they just do whatever the president wants and says. He's the decider. Oh, national security advisors try to keep up. Yeah, well, that's their job, yeah. So, as we looked earlier, Senate Republicans block limits to president's war powers. Okay. It still won't shut up the mainstream media from saying it's illegal, it's illegal. How every senator voted on the Iran war powers resolution. Iran TV and social media project defiant and distorted view of war. Yeah, they probably do, but as if the New York Times doesn't as well, though. Sorry, the New York Times accusing others of a distorted view of anything. That's rich, isn't it? That's rich. Okay, oh look, the pro-American Kurdish forces are preparing possible Iran incursion. So the news is a bit split. Are they thinking about it? Are they preparing? Are they going to do it? Or has it already happened? Has it already started? Okay, the Washington Post. Violence forges a new Middle East. Yeah. Hamas's October the 7th attack launched a historic reordering. Well, it's true to say, isn't it? Whether you like it or not, just that is true. with Israel's other main foes, mostly crushed, the US-Israeli war on Iran is unfolding in ways that would have been unimaginable a few years ago. Again, true, isn't it? Would have been unimaginable like 2 years ago or whatever. Basically, oh, the Aussies, how good. We've had a quick look. They've got much the same as usual. Quick look at the Ruskies, shall we? There's nothing in China, as usual, of note, of real, like, real news. All right, the Ruskies. Iranian forces launched missile strike on anti-Iranian groups in Iraqi Kurdistan. Okay, so that's becoming the news now. Even last night, that wasn't so much the news, but this morning now it is. So, looks like that's kicking off. Kurdistan Democratic Party denies reports of offensive in Iran. So the Ruski is saying, it's not happening, or at least not this moment. Who do you believe more, TASS coming out of Russia or the Mail Group? Neither are very trustworthy, ultimately, are they? Can't rely on it, won't bet your life on anything they say, right? Iranian forces claim responsibility for attack on Ben Gurion Airport. Obviously, that'll be in Israel. David Ben Gurion. It's their first prime minister, wasn't it? Or president. All right, we're getting towards the end of the hour. Should we have a quick look at... Because I'd like to finish around 9 if possible. Should we have a quick look at On This Day in History? A quick 5 minutes of On This Day in History? You seem to like that segment. I like it. All right, so on the 5th of March through the centuries... What happened? Let's have a quick look. Okay, on this day in the year 363 AD, it would be, the Emperor Julian moves from Antioch. That would be Julian the Apostate. The Julian Apostate. Moves from Antioch, moves east, with an army of 90,000 to attack the Sassanid Empire in a campaign that leads to his death. Yeah, ultimately he got defeated in battle, was on the retreat and got wounded and ultimately died. But Julian the Apostate is an incredible story. I've got to do a bit of content about it soon on Epochs, all about the life and career of Julian the Apostate. A remarkable life. Or the last few years of his life. Absolutely remarkable. Okay, on this day in the year 1046, Persian scholar Nasser Khosrow, an important account, 11th century account, begins a 7-year Middle Eastern journey, which he later describes in his book, Safarnamana. I don't know how to pronounce that. Safarnama. All right. But yeah, but his accounts are quite often quoted as sort of one of the first, or among the first, accounts of somewhere like Ctesiphon, or even the pyramids. Did you go see the pyramids? It's like a really, really early description of the pyramids and things. Yeah, interesting, important. On this day in the year 1496, English King Henry VII, Henry Tudor, Henry VIII's father, grants John Cabot, or Giovanni Caboto, a commission to explore for new lands. So yeah, that is sort of right at the beginning of the Age of Discovery, isn't it? So England already getting in on it. You know, it's only two generations later, during the age of like Elizabeth, where we're really exploring the new world in earnest, isn't it? So, it's already started there. Right, Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, didn't he? So, by 1496, the English would be aware of that sort of thing and want to do something similar. Want to get in on the action. Okay, on this day was the Boston Massacre in 1770. British soldiers kill 5 men in a crowd, throwing snowballs, stones and sticks at them. African-American Crispus Attucks is the first to die and is later held up as an early black martyr by weirdos. Okay. The Boston Massacre, or incident on King Street, galvanises anti-British feelings. It's interesting because the War of Independence is 1776, isn't it? So it's a few years before. But what happened was a bunch of English redcoats, British redcoats, were defending a particular building. And a mob, started being really belligerent, and it says throwing snowballs, might be sharp bits of ice, stones. They said, there's a few kids throwing a few snowballs. And others were like, no, you're throwing rocks. and sharp ice and sticks. In the end, one of the redcoats fired, and then a bunch of them fired. Yeah, five people were killed. The redcoats went on trial for that. They were defended by none other than John Adams. The John Adams, second president, goes on to be second president of the United States. And they were acquitted. John Adams won that trial. But, nonetheless, it made a lot of the colonists later to become citizens of the United States. It led a lot of them to hate the British even more. They're like, they're massacring our people in the streets. Alright. On this day in 1841, first a continuous filibuster in the US Senate begins as a Democratic minority attempt to run out the clock on a bill to establish a national bank, which lasts until March the 11th. There you go, filibustering, just talking and talking and talking until the clock runs out on something. Because in the Senate, no one can sort of force a senator to stop speaking. So if you want to talk for effectively days on end, like the session ends, and then when they open it again the next day, you just carry on your speech. Sometimes it's got to absurd lengths, where a senator will just read from the Bible for hours and hours on end, or just read from a dictionary for hours and hours on end, day after day. It's a bit of a last-ditch attempt to prevent something, isn't it? But there you go. Okay, on this day in 1946, Winston Churchill's Iron Curtain speech in Fulton, Missouri, popularises the term and draws attention to the division of Europe. From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, my iron curtain has descended across the continent. What an iron curtain you agree to at Yalta, Winnie. Sorry, Sir Winston, I thought you said that if Hitler invaded hell, you'd make a favourable reference to the devil in Parliament, though. I thought you said Winnie. Oh, but now you're worried about the iron curtain. Didn't you start agreeing to that years ahead at Casablanca and Tehran, and then at Yalta, one way or another, effectively signed off on it? That iron curtain you're talking about now. Oh, now it's a problem. Sorry, Winnie, I seem to remember you arguing endlessly why Uncle Joe should be an ally. Oh, but now the Iron Curtain's a problem, is it? All right, yeah. All right, got it. All right, let's have a look at the Rumble rants and the Super Chats. All right, we've got one Rumble rant this morning from St. Luke 91. I'm just calling you St. Luke now. He says, "Good day. If you ever get a chance, I recommend checking out the China Show and China Uncensored. They've done a really good breakdown on how this war is really affecting China and outcomes for China." Interesting. Well, I may well look that up then, because that is interesting. China most affected. Yeah, well, they've cut their growth forecast, haven't they? And it will affect their energy and their prices and all sorts of things. So I will check that out. The world is so interconnected now, isn't it? That you shut the Straits of Hormuz, and China's massively affected. Okay. Let's see, only a few Super Chats this morning. Okay. Do send in more Super Chats. We love them. Not just for the money, because it's a cool bit of interaction. All right. Global Church History says, today, 1616, I guess in the year 1616 AD. Yeah. Copernicus' book pulled for corrections. Interesting. Copernicus, who of course, the heliocentric vision of the solar system. That the sun is at the centre of the solar system, not the earth. We go round the sun, not the other way round. Copernicus. Okay, interesting. Brendan Lucas says, excellent research by the Home Papers there. It's actually the first torpedo sinking since the HMS Conqueror sank the General Belgrano in 1982. Of course. Of course. Yeah, quite right. Brilliant. Well pointed out. Yeah. Yeah. No, kudos. A gold star to that man. Brendan Lucas. All right, Brendan Lucas also says, the IRS Dina, which was that Iranian frigate, by the way, that got blown up. That was what it was called. The ISS Dina was actually the Iranian Navy's most well-armed ship, with computer targeting systems and vertical launch tubes. The fact that it was caught out thousands of miles from home is nuts. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that, if you say so. Interesting. You seem to know your stuff, so cool. Yeah, interesting. I guess the Iranian thinking there was, we don't want to lose it at all costs. And if it's in the Arabian Gulf, or the Gulf of Oman or anything, it's just going to get destroyed immediately. So we'll move it effectively out of the region, or a long way. Hopefully it won't get sunk. I guess that was their thinking. Wasn't good enough, was it? Field Marshal Dawn Browning says, doesn't the UK have any Chinese Board of Deputies? Doesn't the UK have any Chinese Board of Deputies? Of course, there's the Jewish Board of Deputies. You're asking, does the UK have a Chinese one? Don't know. Interesting. They've just got the Chinese embassy, haven't they? They just try to bully and browbeat our government whenever they want. They're very belligerent. You're doing this now. It's in your interest to do this or that now. Cheeky. If it was up to me, I'd just stop all diplomatic relations with China. I don't care. We don't need your crappy exports. We'll start manufacturing our own stuff, if anything, thank you. Now, all your diplomats and citizens can go back to your country. Don't need you. My feeling. Single party communist states. Don't need you. Get lost. Ugh. All right, the Fenlander, 1665, said Sykes and Pico still putting in the work over 100 years later. Interesting, the Sykes-Pico agreement. The agreement between the English and the French to carve up the Near East after the Ottoman Empire falls at the end of World War One. There you go. Got a lot of content, like 3 or 4 long-form bits of content all about the life and career of Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence. Talk about with Luca, in conversation with Luca Johnson. We talk all about the Sykes-Picot Agreement at one point. Never actually really got implemented, by the way, because things had moved on by the end of World War One. No one really implemented the Sykes-Picot Agreement exactly after the war anyway. I mean, Versailles was largely carved up between France and Britain still, but a lot of other kingdoms like Jordan and Iraq. And anyway, it's complicated, but okay. People that just point to Sykes-Picot and go, that's pure French and British colonial evil. It's like, have a look at what really happened first before you talk about that. All right, another couple of rumble rants before I finish up with the super chats. Another couple of rumble rants have come in. Busted Brian says, a fun bit of news out of TX, is that Texas? Brandon Herrera and Tony Gonzalez went into a runoff in District 23. Oh, is this the? This is like more local or state level elections, is it, in Texas? But Gonzalez now has an appointment with the House Ethics Committee over his mistress self-immolation. She set herself alight. I don't know anything about this. This is all news to me. Some state level senator in Texas called Tony Gonzalez, his mistress, set herself alight. Is that what happened? Dark, grim, if that's what happened. Busted Brian then also says, because of this, it's become very unlikely that Herrera, who was ahead by about 900 votes anyway, will win, making the inventor of the AK-50 a member of our House of Representatives. Okay. Interesting stuff. I'm not familiar with internal Texas politics, so that's interesting. Cool, thank you. Thank you for those super chats. All right, the last 4 or 5 Rumble super chats. What have we got here? Global Church History says, it's Luke Stewart, not St. Luke, he said yesterday. Oh, did he? Sorry, I missed that then. His name's Luke Stewart. Oh, that is... Okay. I get it. So Luke Stewart... Okay, I'll try and remember that going forward. Luke Stewart, 91. Okay, fair enough. Okay, I didn't see that yesterday. How did I not see that? Okay, Principal Dunsurty says, that poll only deserves a small 99 and no sprinkles. An ice cream. 19, anyone might not know, in Britain, 99 and flake, an ice cream. A Chinese ice cream. If you saw the poll, you get it. Okay. Zanothium 15 says, Bo, you've got 1 hour to have a conversation with any historical figure. Who do you pick? Oh, that's a good question. You don't ask a history nerd a question like that and expect a short answer. It's just gone nine, so I can't give you a really long answer. Oh, God, there's so many. Alexander the Great. There's a few things in the accounts where I'd be like, tell me the full story of that. You know, Curtius just gives us a couple of lines of something that happened. I want to know the full details of that. How you knew that was going to happen. Why did you do that? I think Alexander the Great, just because I would like that story to be fleshed out even more than it is. We've got quite a few accounts, three or four big accounts, Arrian, Plutarch, but to quiz Alexander himself? Okay, that was the first thing that popped into my mind, so I'm going with that. Good question, though, great question. Sort of question a history nerd would just talk, go down the pub and talk about all night. Okay. HSOJ2 says, I've noticed by interacting with them that a lot of the hardline deport all minority types advocating for restore are all bots, manufactured ammo. Really? I haven't really seen any of that. I must say, I haven't really seen any of that. All the people I follow all follow me. Well, nearly all of them, I suspect. Who are restore people are not bots. But okay. Have a purge of your Twitter timeline then. Okay. Haven't 100,000 people followed it? Joined it? Haven't something in the order of 100,000 people joined Restore Britain now? Actually paid up 20 quid. They're all bots, are they? Okay. Brandon Lucas says, B-52s are being used. Must be sure there is no anti-aircraft left. Anti-air left. Yeah, right. You wouldn't send B-52s over if you thought they had tons of SAMs still, would you? Yeah. So over the last 5-6 days, they've taken a lot of that out, and now they can fly with impunity, or close to impunity. Yeah. Worrying if you're on the ground. Again, the idea that Hegseth and Trump are saying the biggest raids are yet to come. I doubt they're bluffing about that. They don't really bluff. There's no need to. Is there? All right. And there's only a couple left. So Luke Stewart. So Luke Stewart does do Super Chats and Rumble Rants. Same guy, I take it. Thanks, Luke. Here you've said, on the last episode of China Uncensored, they were talking about how Iran is making about 1,000 missiles a month. To the US 60 defensive missiles a month. Okay, they may have been talking about that, but I imagine that's just complete nonsense, isn't it? Look at what's actually happening. What types of missiles? That's just... The Iranians seem to be running out, and the Americans have got an endless stockpile, so... And what type of missiles? There's stories in the news today about the types of missiles that Iran is firing and the types of missiles that are taking them out. Like the Israeli and the US manufactured ones. The Israeli and the US manufactured ones like cost sometimes 10 times as much, but are just far more sophisticated. Okay. So maybe it was the case. I doubt it's the case anymore. But maybe it was the case that Iranians were pumping out a large volume. They're not very good. It seems. We'll see. Everything might change over the next few days. Suddenly, the United States does reap the Iranian whirlwind. I doubt it at this point. They would have done it by now, wouldn't they? Luke Stewart says, I'm okay with being called a saint. Saint Luke. Okay, last couple here. HSOJ2 again says, most restore people aren't the ones coming out with the I hate everyone who isn't white type lines in they way reformers paint us always respond like LLMs. Okay, I guess I see what you're saying. Is that things that Twitter accounts that seem to be for restore but actually come out with just full-blown crazy things that they seem like LLMs. Okay, maybe you're right. Again, I haven't seen much of it on Twitter. Although I'm not on Twitter loads these days. I spend a few minutes a day usually. Maybe half hour, maybe an hour a day, something in that ballpark. I don't sit on Twitter all day. I just can't. But okay, if you say so. That's a shame, isn't it? It's disappointing if that is. Just trying to cast shadow on the Restore project. Shame if it is. All right. And the last one here, August Seidling says, to clarify, that's Brandon Herrera of the Unsubscribe podcast. Okay, fair enough. I've never heard of Brandon Herrera or the Unsubscribe podcast, but thanks for the information anyway, August. All right, that's the show. It's just ticked past 6 minutes past nine in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Thursday, the 5th of March, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Just realised it's a two-month anniversary, isn't it? We started on the 5th of January, didn't we? So this is the two-month anniversary. Thank you for joining me. You are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Without you, it really isn't a thing, and sisters. It really isn't a thing. Thanks for joining it. If you've been watching it since day one, can't thank you enough. Our numbers are growing, so let's keep it up. All right, then. Well, until tomorrow, do try and make the day count, if you can. If the day ahead for you isn't filled with boring chores and a normal day's work that you have to do, if you've got free time and you can make it count, you can do something of value. Try to. Carpe diem. Seize the day, if you can. All right, then. Well, until tomorrow morning, take care.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.